During the service, the praise and worship, there was a word from the Lord, and I'd like to invite my sister to come up, Sister Rhonda, and give that word from the Lord.
I want to read a scripture to you that ties both words together. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When we were taking communion, one of the things that Bernie said was, submit to the Lord that he may establish your ways. We had two pieces that were brought forward this morning. The first spoke about vinegar that had been improperly stored that then turned to wine. Vinegar, if you were to taste it, can be quite bitter, can't it? We then had another word brought forth where the people were submitted to a washing of the Lord. Literally, water coming down and washing them. And some of the folks in the washing of the where the Lord was washing them actually felt crushed beneath his washing and cleansing them. Others felt refreshed by it. Here's the word that I would bring forth to you today in the telling and simplifying both examples. The Lord will use those things in our lives, the bitterness that comes to us in our lives. But he will always work when we submit ourselves to him, to his process. He will always work so that the bitter things in life are transformed and to our good, so that we become that which he has purposed for us to become. Your life circumstances, your heart circumstances, do not stop there. With him, they will always be transformed to cause you to be able to walk and become an expression of him on the earth. You will go from strength to strength and blessing to blessing in him.
Amen. Let's heed the word and take it accordingly. I felt this morning that God had, I wanted her to give that at this time because I feel it goes directly along with what God was speaking to me about. We're going to talk a little bit, just very briefly, about the first Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving took place in 1621 between the Pilgrims and Native Americans. And they gathered together for this feast. But before they had the feast, they gathered for worship and thanksgiving towards all that God had done for them. They began to thank God for all that he had done, for being their provider, but for being there for them. It's amazing that Thanksgiving, when 1846, Sarah Hale was trying to get Thanksgiving declared as a national holiday. And when the holiday was declared, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the first annual Thanksgiving. And every president since then has also said that there was Thanksgiving. Something that I saw in reading about the history of the Pilgrims and the Indians and them proclaiming Thanksgiving was the fact that they set an atmosphere before they came together. We know they had differences. We know that they did not all believe alike. We know that they did not share a common bond of God in the beginning. We know that there was worship of foreign gods. But we know that once they got together and began to talk and began to fellowship and began to share with each other, one God came into note. And that's the true and living God. and they decided that they were going to worship and serve the Lord. I call that creating an atmosphere. I received a phone call just a couple of days ago from a friend, from my sister, from someone that I love very much, and she called to tell me that someone was dying. And that would I pray, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I get a call and she said, someone is dying and I want to know if you would pray. And we get on the phone and we begin to pray. But one thing I notice is that this person I'm talking to that is always up and really trusting the Lord and really rejoicing and really just standing on the word of God is now so far down. And so I said to her, I said, we're going to pray. But before we pray, I want to talk to you about you not leaving the atmosphere of what God has called you to. Because, you know, circumstances and situations sometimes knock us off balance. And we leave the atmosphere and we leave the presence of a living God and get into the things that we're hearing, that there is sudden trouble, that there is sudden destruction, that this is about to happen. And we walk out of one realm into another realm. So we started talking about that first. And then we went to prayer. And slightly after praying, according to the time, different time zones and changes, about an hour later, my time, she called me to say that when she got to the hospital, there was this rapid change and that she was breathing on her own and that God had restored the heartbeat and that God was moving and that she was awakening from the semi-coma that she had been in. God is good. God is good. The Pilgrims and the Native Americans created at that first Thanksgiving or first harvest, some called it, an atmosphere of worship and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for some has become about the hustle and bustle of a meal, the disappointment with invited guests. You invited them and yet you didn't want them to come. And family feuding. We have forgotten about the atmosphere of worship and thanksgiving. They're coming, you know they're coming, but you don't even want them to come. I have never understood that. I remember just one time being home, and my mother said, so-and-so is coming, and I can't stand it. And I said, well, Mom, how did she know you were having Thanksgiving dinner? I told her. I invited her, Robin. I said, well, gee whiz, Mom, if you didn't want her to come, you shouldn't have invited her. If I don't want somebody to come somewhere, I'm not going to give you an invitation because I'm not going to mistreat you. That doesn't make sense to me. So Thanksgiving for some has become a great disappointment. We have forgotten as Christians about the atmosphere of worship and thanksgiving. Let's define atmosphere. It's a surrounding or pervading mood and environment or influence. The atmosphere cannot be displayed in our home or our lives one day a year. You see, the problem is in life we prep for everything within a couple of days. But you need to be prepped for this for a lifetime if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is not a quick thing. This is an eternal thing, something that you're walking into all the time. The atmosphere begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14 says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about the ways to indulge your evil desires. Put on the Lord. That's what the King James Version says. Clothe yourself in the Lord. We further it by reading God's word and attending church, which tells us the way to live. Then we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, and that'll take us closer to what we want as we begin to charge the atmosphere. Because you know what happens? The closer we become to Jesus, we begin to seek healing over past hurts and past injuries. I'm aware that there are past hurts. I'm aware that there are past injuries. And those of you that are sitting in this church, we basically have no excuse because God has set up ministry here to help you walk through that and get over on the other side. It is by choice often that people hold on to the hurts and the injuries. But we've got to get on the other side of the hurt and the injuries. Why? Because there is an atmosphere that God is looking for us to create as you and I go different places. And as we are in a particular place, on your job, wherever it may be, God is looking for us to carry that atmosphere. How do we continue to change the atmosphere? And young people, I want to challenge you because God, you know, one of the things growing up in the church, when I would hear someone speaking, I often thought that that was particularly for the old folks. I would say, oh, that's for them. But I want to tell you, how do you continually change the atmosphere where you are? The Bible says in Matthew 5:13, we are salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You and I are salt. Why salt? Well, first let me tell you, don't get in your mind the little packet of Morton salt, because that wasn't around during that time. But people took salt, and it came in the form of rocks, small rock salt. And they chipped at the salt, and they would put it in. It had many purposes. Salt was a rock, and it was formed to rub on the meat and keep bacteria away. It also preserved food and kept it clean. So you could put salt in there and put the food away, and the food would stay clean. The rock salt did more every single solitary day than Christians do often. But yet we are compared to salt, rock salt. You and I are rock salt. We can help keep the bacteria of sin from spreading from one person to the other, but it's by choice. You and I have to make that decision every single solitary day. When we walk into places, will you spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you spread the love, the peace, the joy? Or will you be something that causes the bacteria? That's the choice. So in other words, putting in other ingredients did not change the power of salt. Let me tell you something that's a little bit funny. I remember when I made my first pot roast, I decided to try to do it the way my mother did it. So my mother soaks her pot roast in a little bit of salt water to get it clean, and then she washes it, and then she puts more seasoning on it. It's never tasted salty. I tried it. So it seemed like it was going pretty good. And then I cooked it. It was so salty that I had to throw it in the garbage. I'm telling you, with every other seasoning that I put on it, the only seasoning I could taste was the salt. And salt was in every single solitary bite. At least 50 pieces of salt. It was so salty you could not even chew it. So it let me know something after I was done complaining, done being upset, all that crazy stuff, and had to cook a new meal. Later, I got a spiritual antidote out of it. And I do mean later, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 20 days later. Anyway, see, I'm not going to try to act like I was real spiritual. I got it like 20 days later. What hit me was this, that this salt that came up, and the way the salt came up, nothing I put on that roast was affected by the salt. I put other seasonings. I washed it first. And then I put other seasonings. And I did all kinds of things. Nothing. Nothing was affected by the salt. So, here we go for creating the atmosphere. The person comes to the family dinner that likes to roll into the history of all of the bad things. What are you? Salt. So how should it affect you? Here's the person that comes, and all they ever talk about is gloom, doom, despair, agony on them. What are you? Oh, I'm not convinced. What are you? And so what do? You affect the atmosphere. Remember, you're bringing praise. You're bringing worship. You're bringing thanksgiving to the table. It does not affect you. One of the coolest heroes in the world is Thor. I love Thor. And so in my love, I am a Marvel fan. What I like about Thor is no matter what comes near him, when he throws out whatever that thing is called, when he throws it out, it knocks everybody out, okay? Everybody, you just see them start falling. And so everybody's down. You're salt. You're salt. You don't fall down. When it's thrown across the table, when it's thrown out there, the word of God comes back at that person in such a loving way, not by quoting scriptures, but by loving them. So back to creating the atmosphere of worship, thanksgiving, and thankfulness wherever you go. You must personally be determined that I will be salt even when I am under attack. Psalms 91 and 1 through 2 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." He's your God. He's my God. We are here to trust Him. And one of the things we need to realize, tuck yourself in that secret place. And you will keep the atmosphere moving, and the atmosphere will be great. What I have learned, but had to be reminded of, is that wherever I go, my spirit can change the atmosphere. My spirit. I'm in leadership, so one of the things I've recognized is that if I walk into a place depressed, angry, negative, and without a vision, everybody follows me. Everybody. I'm telling you that if my staff walks in the door and they say, "Hi, Miss Robin," because I go around in the morning, and when I first walk in the door, the first thing I do is I walk in and I go visit every single solitary room. And I say, "Hi, how are you today? Hi, how are you today?" And the kids run and give me kisses and hugs. But if I walk in the room and go, "Hi, how are you today? Oh, it ain't been such a good day. I hate to tell you, but it's gloom. Life has not been good to me." I may feel that way, but I can't walk in the room that way. And I have recognized that people follow my atmosphere. And so therefore, whenever I'm getting ready to walk out the house, when things aren't right, I have learned I have to get myself in the right atmosphere. So recently, two things. One funny, one God's still working with me with. Hallelujah. The one that's funny is this. I'm in the Wawa and I was in line, so I'm in line and I give the guy my money and he says, "If you don't spend all this money for gas, come back." So I go and I pump my gas, come back, and there's one guy in front of me, the register breaks down. So he says, "We're gonna move back to that register over there." Well, I go to move back, I mean, I'm number two, right? And when you're number two, you should be number two. Well, whenever I get back there, I'm like number 55. And I hear this guy. that I guess noticed that I was number 55 and I was number 2. He makes a wonderful proclamation. He goes, oh, well, we should just be grateful we're in the line. Now, if anybody knows anything about me, I won a staring contest, okay? I can stare, okay? So I was looking at that brother, and I was like, let me tell you a thing or two or three. I gave him the look, okay? And he did not look at me. He turned his eyes very quickly. So I was 55 or whatever it was. I went and got in line. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, God. Then I happened to look at all the people that got in front of me. They're all men. Now I am really having difficulties. Really difficulties. Chivalry is not dead. So I'm thinking, what? For real? Give me a break. So I stay in line. And I go up and the guy goes, what are you in line for? And I said, well, I did not spend all my money. I need to get a receipt and I need to get my change. And he goes, oh, I can't do that until I get to the I am now beside myself. Okay, I got to get to work. So I then go to the other register where he tells me to stand, thinking that someone was going to take over his register and he followed me over to the other register. But that didn't happen. He finished everybody that was behind me also. So I'm standing and I'm saying, okay, Lord. By this time, I'm realizing God's trying to teach me something. See how long it took? And so I know, would you all like another preacher to come up? Because this is it today, okay? I'm it. And I want to tell you, I would like to be real spiritual, but I got to tell you, I was hot. So I'm standing in the line over there, and I'm waiting. And finally, he comes over, and he goes, what are you over here for? Everything in me wanted to yell to the top of my lungs, you know what I'm over here for? But instead I said, I just want my money out of the register because I spent X amount of dollars and I gave you this amount of money. So he reaches in and he looks back as far as he can, but the register is broken. And he gives me my money and he says, thank you. And I said, okay. And I walked out the door, okay? I did not say you're welcome. Now, you sure you don't want another preacher? Okay, so I'm walking back towards my car, and I could hear my nephew saying, Aunt Robin, what's hypocrisy? So I get in the car, and I say, God, forgive me, because I'm a hypocrite. So while I am now crying because I got hypocrisy, I am so upset. I get in my car, I drive off, I'm going to the building, and I'm thinking, you are such a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. So I'm asking God to forgive me, and I'm coming in. That day I realize that we have a created atmosphere when it's convenient. When it's convenient, our atmosphere is that of praise and worship. But when our atmosphere is tampered with, when our atmosphere is delayed, when it seems like there is some denial, when it seems like God is saying, I want you to hold on for a moment, or I want this done in a different way, or I'm going to test you in this particular area, all of a sudden, our atmosphere is not good. So I am a mother. We know that. And I felt a while back, a couple of weeks ago, that my son received a grave injustice. So the lion in me rose up. Okay, talk about me all day, mess with me all day, but don't mess with my baby. Okay? So I came, I was like, okay, I have had it. Don't mess with my baby. So I decided I would do it Robin's way. And I took care of business, okay? Because I can take care of business, and I'm going to let y'all know that, okay? But then God took care of me, okay? And the way it ended was I found myself crying and repenting for my attitude and the atmosphere in which I have created. Because I created an atmosphere. Was there an injustice? Yes. Did my son need someone to stand up for him? Yes, but not me. He needed to know at that time that Jesus Christ loved him more than his mother was capable of loving him, and that he would stand up for him. I had to go to my son and repent and tell him, Mom tried to handle it, but the way Mom tried to handle it was in her flesh. We should have handled it this particular way. We should have went to God. And so when I recognized what was going on, my going to God sounded like this. Lord, my son belongs to you. And no weapon formed against my son or any other child will prosper. Because Heavenly Father, you will keep my son safe and you will keep other people's children safe. Because after all, our children are not in the hands of man, but they are in the hands of a living God. So we have been having devotions night after night where I've been saying to my son, what your mother felt was a mother's heart being torn, but it was wrong. But what God wanted was for me to humble myself in the presence of a living God and let him take care of business. You know, I would like to tell you that I'm perfect, but I will tell you this, that on a daily basis, I have to go in the presence of a true and living God and let him work on me. I shared those things because I need you to know that when I stand up here to speak, I'm speaking as an oracle of a person that has gone through life but keeps coming back to the real presence of the Savior and making it right. So I went back to my injured and apologized and asked for forgiveness. And, you know, God did this thing inside of me because he wanted me to see, yes, he's your baby, but he was my baby before he became your baby. You see, mothers and fathers, you have to know that. You have to know that, yes, it's your child, but he belongs to the living Savior. So what did I come to tell you? That we are a part of that atmosphere. And what I learned about that atmosphere is that I help to create that atmosphere. And wherever I go, people follow. So I either create an atmosphere of joy, peace, love, or I create an atmosphere where people are messed up and people are angry. And I may know how to go to God and make it right, but they don't. So the atmosphere is still there. Psalm 63, 1 through 8 says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the fat and riches of food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. And when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadows of your wing I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. That's the peace of God when it comes into your life. So remember, you are the one that creates the atmosphere. Your attitude is not effective. affected by those around you. You are salt. You are rock salt. And I want to give you some scriptures to take with you that you can read along the way. Luke 6, 44 and 45. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth what is good. Think about that. Sometimes we're looking for people to bring forth something that's not even in their heart. The good man has these things in their heart. And the evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills in his heart. Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. His love is always there. Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. Every day, wherever we are, we have to get in the presence of a living God to stay in the right spirit. If we want the right things to come out, we got to stay in the presence of the Lord for the right things to come out. Colossians 3:15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed, you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God and the Father through him. Whatever you do. And that's where we have to get down to. We have to stop and examine situations. Every one of us got a table turner in our lives. A person that comes in to kick a few things around. Everybody has one of those persons, even if you won't admit it. But we got to stop. And in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes we have to realize that it's just time to stop and make your requests known unto God. He knows what your request is. And that atmosphere can stay the same when we take it and we dedicate it to the Lord. We don't have to change. All we have to do is say, God, here it is. I surrender. I give it to you. 2 Corinthians 9:15, one of my favorite verses, very short. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. There are words that cannot express what Jesus Christ has done for us. Hey, do you find yourself getting tongue-tied when you try to tell people how he has taken care of you every morning? I grew up in the era of testimony service. And so they gave testimonies. I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, closed in my right mind, the blood running warm in my vein. I thank the Lord for how he has carried me throughout this day. I thank him for putting food on my table to let me know he was able. I thank him for giving me everything I need. I thank him for walking with me when I was walking in the shadows of death. I thank him for being my healer in the midnight hour. I thank him for being with me. He has never left me nor forsake me. He will not. And when those ladies got through saying all of that, you felt the presence of a living God with you. And you knew, where can I go that I cannot be, that I won't be in the presence of a living God? Where? And the testimonies that they were giving, they were healed. When I was growing up, I said this before, and I have another scripture to give. But when I was growing up, the church services were like this. People came in the door, and they rejoiced. And then they would come down front as they were healed of things. And other people wanted to be healed of those things. We saw garters drop off of people's necks. They came in with huge growths that were from here to here. And people laid hands on them and the garters dropped. Blind eyes were opened. People that were limping left healed. People that had heart disease were healed. Cancers were healed. People, they went to the hospital. People came out of the hospital and were in service that Sunday, and they were healed by the power of a living God. In that service, I grew from 3'4 to 4'10 in one night. God did it. And that's not a fairy tale. That really happened. And I remember screaming, and I said, oh, my God, get these shoes off my feet. They hurt, they hurt. And they cut the shoes off my feet, and my feet grew. I was on the verge of being declared a midget, and God decided not so, and he healed me. I went home. My mother, who at that time was kind of contemplating whether God was real, I get home, and I have this sheet around me because they have now cut my skirt off me. They have now cut my clothes. I went in as a 6X child at 13 years old, and I come out, and whatever size I was wearing by then, I had gotten to a 3 in women, and what they had done was they had to make me an outfit with a sheet, and they wrapped this sheet around me. And so here I am coming into my house, and my mother took one look at me, and she said, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Get her out of here. Get her out of here. What even made injury to insult is I was speaking in tongues. My mother thought I was crazy. The bus pulled up the next night. They said they had one seat. She said, you're staying home. I'm going. God moved in her life. We felt God told them to change the name, and today it's Pentecostal Miracle Deliverance Center Church, and people are still healed on a daily basis. They receive massive miracles. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't even think it was abnormal. I thought it was the norm. We went back to my doctor because he said, go to your doctor. And my doctor was Dr. C.C. Caffarelli. And Dr. Caffarelli said, she wrote it down in the records that I grew more in one night than I had grown in my lifetime. And she said, and it is a miracle. And for years, I had the records and I carried them around because people were like, I don't believe it. But as the years went on, and of course I'm an old lady now, one of the things I recognize is I had an experience in the presence of a true and living God that night that I will never forget, because I felt my body taking on a transformation. God healed me. God gave me a miracle growth. And years later, my mother had breast cancer. God healed her in the service. She came in. She had all the tests done. They had done a biopsy, and they were going to put her in the hospital 2 days later to come in to have the surgery. And because she wanted to go to church, they said, we don't recommend this. We usually keep people and go right in. She went. God healed her. She never had cancer surgery. God healed her. She went back. They could not find cancer in her body. My question for you is, we create the atmosphere. You and I create the atmosphere. And when we come into the house of the Lord, and when we go places, we need to realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Whatever you don't get is because you don't want it. Because if you really want it, come with an expectation that I'm not leaving till I get it. That night that I got healed, I didn't expect the healing, but I'll tell you what I did expect was to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My mother said, I told, and you've heard me say this, I said to my mother, when I come out of the service, I'll be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. She said, can you say that? I said, I don't know, but when I come home, I'll let you know. I went with the determination. I just said, God, I heard all these other people. You can't love them more than you love me. So I'm going to get it. And when I walked up to the altar to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all I remember is saying, Lord, save. I went down. I came up speaking in tongues. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was determined to go get it. Psalms 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Isaiah 12:4-5. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. We have an atmosphere, and only you can create that atmosphere. And I'm praying for you and myself as we go throughout these days and the things that we have to endure as Christians. We're being asked, will the real Christians stand up? That's the reality. Our world is saying to us, Christians, stand up. You can't be incognito anymore. You can't be Christian when you want to. You can't be Christian hidden behind a door. But God is saying, stand up, be counted, be an example. And if you're struggling now while you can hide, what will you do later? So today is the day. Today is the day that you make up your mind that you will be different. Today is the day that you make up your mind that you're going to come in the presence of a living God differently. I'm going to ask Rhonda before we pray to come back, and will you present that one more time, what God gave them, if it's all right, because I want it to be right there in your forefront.
Basically, two stories that said, regardless of your life circumstances, the life circumstances that may produce bitterness within you, that could cause you to choose to stop where you are and be defined by your circumstances, that we have a greater reality and a greater truth. That if we will submit ourselves to his washing, in other words, his dealings with us, that we're no longer stopped by our circumstances. Instead, we continue on to be shaped and formed and changed into what he has called us to be. The bottom line is, because his truth supersedes any truth or any reality we live here, we will always overcome the current bitterness and become a testimony of his greater truth and his greater reality.
So what that sounds like to me is today, you have heard God's word in two different forms, but the same word. Every head bowed and every eye closed, let's make some decisions. You're here, and if the word of God is spoken to you, then allow that word to be a part of your life. I'm going to ask them to play something soft, or if there's still a musician here, could someone play for us something soft? But I'm going to ask you to make a choice. Make a choice today. The Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Some of you have been going in dread, and you're getting ready to go to family and friends and all of that sort of stuff, and you've already made up your mind what it's going to be like. But a change can happen today. So everyone stand right where you are, and if you're here and this word has spoken to you, and those that are praying, please come down. Those that are going to pray at the altars, please come down. I'm going to ask you to come. Thank you, Brother Brandon. I'm going to ask you to come and allow these men and women to come and to pray with you and to lay hands on you, because today is the day. Today is the day. If you're here and you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to move quickly and to come down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone just begin to worship for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.